Today's scripture reading is from Genesis and Acts. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over to the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Now, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in their own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But the others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents of the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Audrey Hepburn said, "Nothing is more important than empathy for another human being's suffering. Nothing, not career, nor wealth, nor intelligence, certainly not status. We have to feel for one another if we're going to survive with dignity."
Thanks, Arlene, for reading one of the hardest scripture readings in the whole lectionary. And thanks, Dallas, for somehow knowing what I'm preaching about, even though I didn't tell you. The Lord taketh away, and the Lord giveth back. That's the story of Pentecost in a nutshell. From the earliest days of the church, on the 50th day of Easter, which is today, after a week of weeks following the resurrection, we decorate everything in red with images of doves and with fire everywhere, and we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And from the beginning, Christians have understood Pentecost as the undoing of that other story you heard Arlene read, the Babel story. I know that was a lot to do altogether, but you had to hear all of it. You just did. Because in Genesis, we hear that because of humanity's pride and hubris, that languages drove people apart and that unity disintegrated. But then in Acts, we, because of the Holy Spirit, we hear how languages actually brought people together and people were unified again. And you have to hear them together to understand the power behind it. And I mean, what a week for these two stories. I shouldn't have to remind you the kind of week that we've had, right? I mean, the week began, do you remember? The week began on Memorial Day when we saw masses of people flocking to beaches just in complete disregard of social distancing. And we saw people, or didn't see people, masses of people stay at home. That's why we didn't see them. They stayed at home out of continued caution and fear of this virus. This was the week we saw our own Kentucky governor hung in effigy. And yeah, there was the bipartisan outrage at that, but it didn't seem like it took very long until a debate started over who exactly encouraged what and to what degree, and there we were again. And this was the week that we saw another black man killed on the street. Which means that this was another week where we saw people protesting police brutality against African Americans. And then especially once protests started to evolve into riots, we heard people protesting the protesters, just like we've seen over and over and over again. And I'm tired. This is a week where I felt tired of all of it. I felt tired of every news story being controversial. I felt tired of every issue being partisan right out the gate. I felt tired of every one of my conversations feeling confrontational, whether it was or not. I felt tired this week. And one measly comfort that I found, I guess, is that I've realized that of all the problems and issues out there, there really is just one foundational problem to all of it. That fundamental problem, it's not the rhetoric of one side or the protests of the other side. It's not the presence of body cameras or assault rifles. It's not even a lack of... And it's Babel. That's it. It's just Babel. It's the fact that we don't speak the same language. We don't see things the same way. We don't process reality the same way. In fact, we almost couldn't do it more differently sometimes. Call it differing worldviews, call it conflicting ideologies. I don't care what you call it. It's Babel. You may as well be having conversations over coffee with aliens from another planet as our neighbors. It goes down like this. See if this sounds familiar to you. Something happens. Something really big and controversial. Let's say, all of a sudden, just hypothesize with me, they stop making all Pepsi products. All versions of Pepsi, gone. Mountain Dew, gone. Sprite, gone. All of it. Now, were that to happen, half of us here and those listening to me out there, half of us would have a heart attack, including me, by the way. All right? I might call it pop, you might call it soda, but half of us, the one thing we can agree on is that Coke has no place in our lives. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, I had them here, I was hoping. All right? So we go off, this side of the room is what it is. We go off, get on Twitter, hashtag bringing Pepsi back, right? Whatever we got to do, we're going to bring it back in the end. That's what we're up to. Now the rest of you, I guess it's this half of the chapel where I'm at. The rest of you, let's talk about you Coke drinkers. You're out there watching all of us freak out, sipping your inferior sugar water. Gwen literally has a Coke right now. Sipping your inferior sugar water over there. And realizing that while other people may be upset, you have nothing to worry about. I can't believe you're literally, okay, I'm over it. Now imagine with me, in the day and age that we live in, if this had happened, imagine a Coke person and a Pepsi person sitting down together and the topic coming up. How do you think that conversation would go? Well, again, I've seen stuff like this pop up often enough just this week. I have a really good idea of how it would go, but I needed a little help to show you. So actually, I put a call to Renee Jennings for another favor. I know she just preached for me last week, but I wanted her to come and help me create just such a conversation. Watch.
Well, I hope you're happy.
What do you mean?
I just think you could maybe be a little more sensitive to the rest of us.
What? I'm drinking my Coke. I'm not hurting you at all.
You totally don't get it. You have no idea what it's like to go through something like this.
Okay, look, I'm sure it's not fun, but don't you think you're overreacting? Like just a little bit? I'm sure it's not that bad. Aren't Coke and Pepsi like the same thing anyway?
Hey, don't tell me you wouldn't be doing the same thing if it were you. And I mean, wouldn't you want me to help you if our positions were reversed?
Okay, listen. I get that it's hard for you, but it's not like anyone did anything wrong. And come on, people have way worse problems than this right now. Don't you think that we should be helping out with those things?
Oh my gosh, I am not saying that I have it worse than every other person on the planet, but come on, I just want a little recognition for what I'm going through here.
Okay, yeah, sure. Listen, I'm sorry. I am sorry that it's hard, but you didn't have to be here. Remember when I tried to get you to start drinking Coke a little while back? And if you had just listened to me then, you wouldn't be in this position. So now maybe you can change and start enjoying Coke with the rest of us. That'll be awesome.
I get it. It's all my fault now. It's all on me. It's like it's on me for having the wrong kind of taste buds. Is that what you're, are you just trying to make this worse?
No, look, I'm not the one who put Pepsi out of business, okay? I'm trying to help you. Here, I know, here's what we'll do. We'll start you out on Sierra Mist, okay? Because it's basically the same as Sprite anyway, and so you'll be fine. And then we'll graduate you up to Mellow Yellow. None of us like that anyway, so you'll be right there with the rest of us. And then maybe we'll get into like Coke Zero for like if you want that lower calorie option.
Out here? Oh, okay. Thank you, Renee, so much for helping me out. Funny as we tried to make that, it probably sounds just a little familiar to you, right? That right there, that's the Babel problem that we each of us face, right? We are and have always been a Babel people. The only difference is there's no longer a group small enough or similar enough to us that we can ignore it anymore. We're just constantly facing the reality we've always lived in. And the biggest struggle for all us Babel people, if you watch that or if you've lived out today, should be obvious. We all, for the most part, are well-intentioned. We just don't know where to draw the line. We don't know where to draw that line where, on the one hand, we're okay to agree, to disagree, and to keep a respectful dialogue going. But we're on the other hand, we finally have to say no. I'm sorry. You're a child of God and I love you, but the words coming out of your mouth are evil and I cannot tolerate it anymore. Where do you draw that line? Where did you draw that line this week? Did you draw that line at the politician that you thought was tanking the economy or with the effigy? Did you draw the line when someone refused to go outside because they were just so scared in a way that made absolutely no sense to you? Or did you draw the line at the hundreds crowding the pools? Did you draw the line and the police kneeling on a man's neck for minute upon minute? Or do you draw the line at the rioting and the looting? Or all of the above? Where did you draw the line? Who was right? Who was wrong? Who was simply ignorant? And who was being evil? Now, the fact that some of you are at home shouting at your computers, that is completely obvious which is which. And the fact that others of you are shouting at completely different answers at your computer, that is equally obvious which is which, gets to the heart of the problem. And it shows us why we need Pentecost. See, in the Pentecost story, Babel is undone, but not in the way anyone expected. I think if maybe we were writing the Pentecost story, we would have written it a little bit differently. We probably would have had just God undo everything. Just undo the whole thing. All of a sudden, everyone would be speaking the same language again, right? They would be totally alike in every way. They would have the same culture, same values, same language. But that's not what God does. God doesn't change their language back. God keeps all the differences that are already there. Everyone understands what is being said, but not because they all suddenly speak Greek, which is what the disciples spoke. No, by some amazing Pentecost miracle, they are granted the ability to understand in their own language just as they are. That's the miracle of Pentecost. That while remaining different, all these different people somehow, some way, found themselves united anyway. United not by their language, not by their culture, not by their values, but by the message. The message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They found themselves united by the gift of life and salvation, which is for all people, regardless of their differences. They found themselves united, in other words, by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've heard about it yet. It happened too late last night for it to get into today's paper. But last night, a group of local high school students, many of them people of color, organized a vigil for Breonna Taylor and George Floyd here in Somerset over at the Fountain. Now, it wasn't organized as a protest, although some showed up with that in mind. It definitely wasn't a riot, far from it. It was a vigil. It was a space for the public mourning of Breonna and of George and all those African Americans who have died from violence they didn't deserve. And if you ever have the opportunity to see photos of that event, you'll see that most people are holding a candle with a holder that looks exactly like this. And the reason they're doing that, most of them, is because a certain Methodist pastor took over 10 boxes of candles left over from our last Christmas Eve service. And the wind was a little rough, but most people were able to get at least a little bit of a light. And you'll see that. And I want you to know why I did that. It wasn't to shove our church into the middle of any divisive issues on anything, although I know I risked that. I did it because in a Babel world, where every action seems like it harms as much as it helps, and where words often do the same thing, and no matter what you do, no matter how well-intentioned, so often things spiral into violence. Because in a Babel world, we desperately need Pentecost. And that symbol, which I'm sad went out, this symbol, a flame resting on each and every person, that's the symbol of Pentecost. Whether those holding these candles knew it or not, they were holding a sign of something that each and every child of God shares. A sign of life and of hope and of unity in a Babel world. They were holding a sign of the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who know that, for those of us who have given our lives over to the Holy Spirit, for all of us, wherever we are, whatever language we speak, who make up the church, we know that this is what unites us now. Not our language, not our ideologies, not our opinions on anything. Only this fire unites us. Only the life and salvation we have been given unites us. Now, that doesn't remove the differences. If you want to live in a little echo chamber full of people who are just like you, I cannot recommend the church. No, there's still pain. You know that. There's still going to be controversies. Every time something comes up, someone's still going to be right and someone else is still going to be wrong. But if we fight for that fire, if we fight for the life and for the dignity of all people, yes, we may still get it wrong. But by the Holy Spirit, we will be able to be guided and enlightened, and we'll do better next time. And the more we do this, the more we speak out and live out the gospel of life and of salvation, the more we move and act by the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the more others will see it, and the more they will hear it, and the more they will respond to it, even when they disagree with it. See, here's where we are now. The last day of Easter. We finally reached the last and hardest step of growing up. You don't throw away your language now. You never will. You don't throw away your values. You don't throw away your opinions. You don't throw away your ideologies. No. And yeah, when you still feel it's necessary, you do. You stand up and fight for what you believe. Still, that's true. The difference. Those who grow up in the Spirit, the difference is that when you fight for the life and salvation of everyone else. And the difference is that when you're not fighting, you're listening. You're listening to people who are hurting. You're listening to people who disagree with you. Is that hard? Yes, it's hard. But you do it. You bear it, and you suffer it. Because your identity no longer lies in those things. See, you do it because you now know without any doubt who you are, because you now know whose you are. And you know. You know that that Spirit which came down and united the world at Pentecost lives within you, and you know that no one, whatever their opinion or whatever actions they take, can take that from you. And you know now that no matter the conflicts, no matter the controversies, no matter the economy or the death toll, you know that there is no power in heaven or on earth or under the earth that will ever put out that fire. You know to the depths of your soul that that Holy Spirit will recreate all things and restore all things and will finally defeat all evil and all sin and all hatred and all racism and all disease and all suffering and all poverty and even death itself. You know that. You know that now. You know that the Holy Spirit, which came down in fire, will keep burning until everything has been purified, until that day when everyone and everything shines with life and with love and with beauty and with grace. You're grown up because you know the end. And you know that the end makes all of this worth it. Welcome to being a grown-up.